We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's a, he did it. I knew you were going to do it, Barrett. I still let you say one, even though we've gone over why you don't need to say one when I'm counting in from five. It's the Backliners Podcast, everyone. It's Agro and Barra. It's young man Dolson hopping along for the ride as well. Rocking a Bruins jersey because the Bruins are playing in a playoff game tonight. Who are they playing, Dave? Hold on. You can keep talking if you want, but no one can hear any of you. Well, I can, but the stream cannot for some reason. That's odd. Why can't the stream hear you guys? I thought I did, but apparently not. How about
is this an ad read bit?
Oh, here we go. No, it isn't an ad read bit, though. That would have been good.
Oh, I would have fell for it if it was.
Oh, I should have.
You had me like hook, line, and sinker.
Guys, there's no one who can hear you.
Is your cell service bad?
Oh my, dude, I literally just figured it out, Dave. I just put it together. How good would that have been? My God.
Well, save it for next episode. It's fine.
You will forget by then. Yeah, so I'm not super worried about it.
Give me like 15 minutes and I'll forget, honestly.
I also opened the show by complaining about you saying one, Barra, and no one heard you say one. Barra did the thing again, chat, where I was counting down from five, and then he said one.
It's just hilarious for me. I love the bit. It's funnier each time. And this is the second time and it's funnier than it was before. So we're only going up.
I wonder how you feel about, maybe not the same, but possibly the same. How do you feel about other casters saying peach it at the end of the show?
It doesn't bother me a whole lot.
Okay.
I think it's fine.
Oh, I never say it for what it's worth, because that's not my
job. Well, I know it's only Mifflin, right? That's what if I had to guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Might literally only be Mifflin.
Yeah, that's kind of to be expected.
Sure, okay.
But
I didn't know that, like, you know, you counting the show in, you kind of have that market cornered. I don't know if you felt like you had...
Well, I don't, Dave. As someone who's in the industry, you know that is standard practice, right? We're counting in, and you don't say one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
Or zero.
You leave the last number out.
Right, because the mics are going live. So,
right, because you don't want to hear the one.
Right, exactly. Oh, I forgot that Tony said my mic was too far away last time. So now I am moving it up and making you all hear these horrible scraping sounds.
I got to crank you down a little bit, goodness.
There we go. How's that? Am I louder now? Actually, I might have turned it away from my face. Who knows what's happening? Not me. And that's the theme of today's episode, because I did not watch a single game of this weekend's SPL. I was traveling. I wish I could have watched, but I was traveling, as I just said. Oh my God, you guys. All right, Mrs. Ma is going to have to just tune out because I got to go. We, of course, have to lead with some non-Smite talk.
Yeah.
Can I tell you about how terrible my Sunday was? My yesterday? That's why my brain is so absolutely fried. So my Saturday, obviously fantastic. You know, we're in Pittsburgh for a wedding. One of our great friends who we've known forever gets married. I get to see a bunch of my old high school friends I haven't seen in a long time. Have a great time. Have a lot of drinks. As one
as you do at a wedding.
As you do at a wedding, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Ramsey.
Oh, hello, my goodness.
Ramsey. She's so cute. This is a good podcast.
Sorry, she wanted to join.
Oh, she is so sweet.
I don't blame her.
And so I'm obviously, because I'm old now, I'm hungover on Sunday. And I knew I was.
And so you're still hungover today.
A little bit, yeah. Physically, I definitely am. And mentally. So yeah, I guess that's both. That's both sides.
That is hungover.
Yeah, that's what hungover means, I guess. and I go, so I go, we stay at a hotel, and I thought our flight was at 11:20 a.m. And that means you have to get up pretty early, right? Because you have to get through security and all that kind of stuff. Oh, hi, Mackenzie. Did Joe let you in so you could say hi to Ramsey? Come here. She likes being picked up, but she doesn't want to get close enough to get picked up a lot of the time.
Ramsey, come here. Your
Mackenzie
friend.
Mackenzie and Ramsey stayed together this weekend. I was going to say that Dave has come through big for me, not just today by coming on the podcast, but this weekend spending time with Mackenzie and watching her.
A dream. It was an absolute dream.
I have her report card.
Report card.
Report.
P-A-W.
Right.
T-A-W-T
card for Mackenzie Jude. That's her that's her name. In friendship, she got an A+.
Yeah.
That was good, boo-boo. In being mean class, she got an F.
Oh, she failed at being mean. That's not no good.
We do not accept failures.
That's terrible.
Sense. Okay. You're going to be better at being mean. I'm going to teach you. Don't worry. You won't get an F next time. At being the best, she got another A+, guys. She got another A+. At bedtime cuddles, she got an A+. That's good. That's
Wow. That's really good.
And at wrestling, she got an A+. So not just good in the behavior classes, but in the physical, the phys ed department as well. And then notes, Mackenzie is/was a saint and is welcome to come wear down Ramsey anytime. So you got to
go. I don't know if I used the right wear. Do you know if I used the right wear? Like I think I did
W-E-A-R. Is that the right one? That is so funny that you are still you're still self-conscious about using the right wear to the point where you remember which spelling you went with.
I'm not sure. I mean,
if you weren't sure if you were right,
because that's the same one as like wearing a shirt, right? And it just felt weird.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't know.
Get out of here,
Mackenzie was great because Ramsey's the type where like when she sees me brushing my teeth, she knows that it's about to be bedtime, and so I'll walk around the corner into my bedroom, and Ramsey will be laying on the bed like where I sleep because she knows that I like wrestle with her for a second.
W-H-E-R-E.
But then she always jumps off.
Right. Where?
Right. 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 but Mackenzie was the type who would sit and wait, and then when I got in bed, Mackenzie would just jump in bed and just stay there all night. And so I got to experience both, and that was great.
That sounds absolutely wonderful.
A+.
But yeah, thank you so much for watching. She loved it.
Of course.
also, yeah, so back to my story about not Smite before I was before I was sidetracked by my dog. So Sunday I thought our flight was at 11:20 a.m., so I set a very early alarm for like 7 a.m. in order to get to the airport. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, I realize I haven't checked into my flight yet. And it's and so I look at the tickets and it's not until 1:30. P.M. So I've woken up too early.
Two hours too early.
2 hours too early. I go back to sleep for a little bit, but only for a little bit because then Joe wakes me up appropriately and says, "Yo, we're in the Pittsburgh Marathon is happening today." And I looked at the marathon route and it goes around our hotel, so no cars can get in through the marathon route. And the marathon doesn't end until, like, they don't open these roads until, like, 2 p.m.
So can you like, not go across the road?
And you're viciously hungover.
And I'm viciously hungover. So the cars can't. But I'm, like, hungover, tired brain, like, that just woke up but didn't get a lot of good sleep. And I'm, like, trying to think about how we can do this. And it's just not come to me. Yep. And eventually we just decide that we have to take our luggage and walk outside the marathon route so that we can get picked up by like an Uber or a family member or something like that. And it's not super clear where the marathon, like the map of the marathon route is not particularly accurate, it turns out, to where these roads actually are. And we have to end up walking like a mile and a half.
Goodness.
carrying all of our luggage, very hungover.
Yeah, that sounds
not great part of
that's
town.
That's terrible.
Because we walked the way away from like where we should have walked, probably. And I was exhausted from that.
Yeah, I was exhausted. I don't envy that. I have a very relevant story, but it is similarly off topic. So I'll let you guys decide if you. Okay.
Yeah, that's the whole like 20 minutes of this podcast.
Right.
Like,
okay. We actually aren't allowed contractually. We are not allowed to talk about Smite in the first 15 minutes.
Right. Okay.
And
great.
B, we have to tell you about how great Mint Mobile is.
I can't hear you. What are we talking?
Yeah, it's about Mint Mobile. You couldn't hear me earlier because I wasn't using the largest 5G network in the nation with some absolutely great service. Listen, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, they put that in quotes, by the way, big wireless.
Huge.
It's like, Dave, Meerkat was really into saying that he didn't like that you were shoving big chair down everyone's throat, the Maxonomic era.
Oh, during my Maxonomic days, got it.
Yeah, the Maxonomic era, if you will. but yeah, big wireless. And if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch?
Yeah,
and after talking
to
them and using their service, it all made sense. There isn't one. There's no catch. It's like a t-ball game. For people who aren't very athletic.
And there's no catcher.
No one's going to catch it. You know? There isn't a catch. It's just like that, Barra. That there's no catch.
Oh, I have such an on-topic story for this as well. But keep going.
That was such a good joke.
Thank you. But, all right, I already read that part of the line. Here we go. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings on to you directly. And as someone who is involved with the show, who has been covered in sweet savings for a long time now, Barra, tell them how sweet it is.
It is absolutely amazing to support my two favorite Ryans in the entire world.
One of them's me, guys. One of them's me.
Nice.
It's not Ryan. It's not this Ryan. It's I actually don't know another Ryan off the top of my head. It is you, Ryan.
Nice, it's me.
Another Ryan.
I have a good friend named Ryan.
Yeah, me. Guys, it's me.
That's not Ryan.
What?
So if you need another one, you can use mine if you want.
Dolson's best friend Ryan is my new favorite Ryan. Absolutely love that guy. Yeah, it's super easy to sign up for, super cheap. There's literally no negatives, as Agro said. And yeah, if you're not signed up already, just go sign up. It takes 2 seconds. It comes straight to your door. You swap over plans in literally like 5 minutes. And you save like at least $30 a month. Destiny saved $260 for the entire year. So pretty good savings. Pretty good savings.
Pretty good savings, if you ask me. That'll do it. That'll get you at least a couple nights in a hotel that is then blocked off by a by a marathon route.
Yep.
At least. Trust me.
Dolson, did you want to give story one and then story two? Or?
Wait, hold on.
Sure.
We haven't finished telling him where to go in order to get this great savings.
I thought you did.
No. Is this your first ad?
What do you mean?
Here's how it goes. I intro with a surprising and witty intro, okay?
Yeah.
Then I talk a little bit about why Mint Mobile is able to give you these great deals, like things like cutting out the retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly onto you. Then I go, Barra, why don't you tell the people about how great Mint Mobile is? And then use
it
in a few minutes. Right. I know you did. We just did it. But then it comes back to me, and I tell them a few more things.
We could just let... No. You stop. Just let Dolson finish it.
Oh, okay.
Dave. Yeah, but I don't know where to go. Where do I go, right? I mean, I don't know where to tell him to go.
Well, first of all, Dave, why don't you give me some of your... How about we do it this way? How about you give me some of your concerns with switching to Mint Mobile? Like, what would potentially prevent you from switching to Mint Mobile?
We're selling it to him on the spot.
This is really me testing my chemistry with Dave and if we still got it. If he knows what I'm thinking that he should ask right now. This is a good casting exercise.
I would... I would be concerned that it's difficult to sign up for.
Mm, you're so stupid, you absolute It's so easy. It's actually so easy. It just takes a few minutes. You just go online. You don't have to talk to anyone about it. You just plug it in.
Which I was right.
And there you go. Well, yeah, but you aren't right because it isn't hard, you know? Some people might be concerned
about that.
Well,
that's what I would be concerned about. You asked me what my concern would be.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Sorry, sorry, sorry. You're right. I did it wrong. What's another concern you might have, Dave?
I'm so sorry he just harassed you as our guest on the podcast.
No, I already got one right. I'm putting one ahead. I quit.
Well, Dave, like, wouldn't you be worried that you wouldn't have your phone anymore? You'd have to, like, change phones, and those are expensive?
Yeah, that'd be horrific. I need my phone.
Dave, you're so stupid to think you'd have to change phones. Why would you think that, man? You get to keep the same phone with all of your existing contacts, Dave.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it at all. So if you're smarter... Okay, I don't want to keep going with this bit. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Goodness.
I'm sorry.
He can pay for therapy once he swaps over, so that's perfect.
That is true. This will help with your therapy.
Not Susan's cheap. Don't worry about it.
Shout out insurance, baby. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped straight to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/backliners. That's mintmobile.com/backliners. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/backliners. Dave, thanks so much for helping to contribute to that great ad read. I thought you did a great job.
Really helped
a lot.
Yeah,
thanks. You're welcome.
Yeah, no, you're
welcome.
You're doing great, buddy. Go ahead with either story one or two, Dave. The podcast
all right, so story two is quicker, and your joke about T-ball and stuff made me laugh because you said nobody catches anything in T-ball.
It's true.
So I'll keep this one short. It was like the summer between fifth grade and middle school, so fifth and sixth grade here in the States for people from the States. And I was watching a weekend of Red Sox baseball. We went and visited my grandparents. We watched the Red Sox series that weekend. And I was like, you know what? I never played baseball. I really want to try it. Maybe I'll make it to the majors one day. And I'm like already in like middle school and I've never played baseball once in my life.
Right, it's fine.
And I'm like, God, I want to be out there on the field under the lights. That'd be sweet. And so like weeks later, I went out for tryouts. And it was like the rec league where all the kids who are actually like on actual teams like will also play like during the summer. It was like summer league.
So you had never played organized baseball before. And you tried
never in my life.
You tried to try out for what is the equivalent of like sixth grade varsity.
Let me rephrase tryout. It was a placing event. So like people who are bad at baseball would also go and they evaluation is a better word.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so they, you know, they put the crap kids on the team with the really good kids.
Right.
And so you go up and like the pitching machine like a guy like underhands you a few baseballs to see if you can hit them. And I hit all those. And I was like, oh, I'm killing it.
Oh, you're not.
And they stick you at shortstop and the coach hits like the little like one arm dingers towards you to see if you can ground them. And I grab those and I'm thinking they're going to put me on a team with a bunch of, I can't swear, a bunch of crap kids.
Uh-huh.
And because I'm looking at an A+. I'm hitting them all and I'm grounding them all. So they stick me out to the outfield.
Uh-huh.
And mind you, you know, there's like 10 teams. And so there's like three coaches per team. There's like 30 like middle-aged men on like folding lawn chairs out in the middle of this baseball field watching the kids go through their evaluation. And so I get to the fly ball portion. They put it in one of those machines that launches them way up in the air.
Oh, I love those.
And I learned that day I don't know how to track a fly ball very effectively. And it gets worse. It's not like I just missed them.
Uh-huh.
I was good enough to get underneath them, but I completely lost them. And I kid you not, three in a row hit me square on the top of my head out in the middle of the outfield. So I'm like tracking this thing. I'm underneath it. And like my glove's right here and it flies right over and doinks me straight on the noggin and bounces off. And I'm like, surely that doesn't happen again. Like tears welling up in my eyes, not from the pain, but from the embarrassment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's more appropriate for you. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure from the pain as well, but like, all right, second one flying in, like all the other coaches were like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. You'll get the next one. I'm like underneath. And I'm like, yeah, I could do this. Same thing. This time, like forehead instead of top of my head. By the time the third ball comes in, I'm like, tears are streaming down my face. I was on top of the world hitting and, you know, fielding the infield balls. And then three in a row doinked me on the head. And I got placed with really good players. And that's when I knew that they knew I was. And I ended up actually having a lot of fun. In that moment, I was maybe the most embarrassed I've ever been in my entire life.
Dave, if I were one of those scouts, here's how I know I'd be a great scout, okay?
Yeah.
I would look at your performance out there, and I'd go, we stick a baseball glove on that guy's hat, we've got it locked up. He's under every single one of those bad boys. We stick one on top. We just tape one to his head, and we've got an all-star on our hands.
Yeah, that's effectively how it would have gone. Now, I will say I got like two hits that – like because actual pitchers were that age, actual pitchers. And I got hit in the shin with one ball. I really took the pitch once I learned to stay in the box because at first I was so scared. They were going so fast.
Right.
I kept ducking out of the box.
Right.
So I took a couple of pitches to the shin and got a couple of hits. And I don't want to take up too much more time, but I'll tell the other story, and this one's going to be very quick. I went to University of Georgia, so my good friends went to Georgia Tech. That's like an hour and a half away. Go Dogs. So my good friends, though, were in fraternities at Georgia Tech, and they would throw like spring parties, fall parties, things like that. And we would drive down and hang out. And my best friend was in one of the fraternities there, so I slept at the same house. And one of my other friends who came with us, he was staying somewhere else. Anyway, he fell asleep not where he was supposed to be that night, and then woke up the next morning without, he was at the fraternity house and realized he had to make it back to where he was supposed to be staying. But the entire campus had been shut down for, like, the Atlanta Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And so no cars were going through.
That's right.
My friend has, like, ripped pants and like, his shirt is all dirty and gross, and he's, like, violently hungover. And he joins the marathon.
What?
And this is just the type of guy. He's like very outdoorsy, like rock climby, kayaky type guy. Like loves camping.
Random marathon-y kind of guy.
Marathon-y. Like he did that to be able to tell the story and live the experience. Ended up running like 2 miles as a part of this marathon.
I'm
sure he blended right in without like one of the stickers or anything like that.
He's like, clearly.
But he just stumbles out of the fraternity house and runs a couple miles, and it happened to run right into where he was trying to go. So those are my two stories. I appreciate you giving me the floor.
Oh, of course. We're only 22 minutes in or so. That means we got 3 more minutes of non-Smite talk. You know, that's usually the way it goes on the podcast. Bear, any stories for you? Because I did think of a story, but I feel like we've just been telling stories back and forth, and I want to get you involved.
Well, my story is just a little sad. I also have a story related to Dolson's baseball story.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up watching Chipper Jones. Mm-hmm. He's a Braves player. Yeah.
A Braves all-time great.
Yeah, and I was like, I want to be just like him. And this was like from probably before elementary school up until elementary school as well. So I like grew up just being a huge fan. And so second grade, my parents signed me up for the rec league as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I did pretty good. Mm-hmm. I did pretty good. But I was a third baseman for my team.
Uh-huh.
And we lost every game that year.
Been there.
No.
And my kids in the outfield were making angels. They were laying down just doing this with their arms. Instead of playing the game.
Yeah.
And also, I threw over the first baseman's head about 50% of the time every time it came to me. So I'm not saying it was my fault, but I only struck out once that whole year. So pretty good year for me.
Really
but
also, to throw over the first baseman's head as an 8-year-old is kind of different.
Yeah, from third, that's not bad.
Is getting it there.
No, wait, skipping.
Right.
Yeah, so Barry's got a
cannon.
Yeah, and then after that, I lost every game, still got a trophy, and did not sign up again because I was so embarrassed. But my mom did tell me that the coach was looking for me the next year. So,
Barrett, unlucky for that, I never signed up. If you would have stuck it out, that you would have been a professional baseball player?
No shot. No shot.
Do you think that if your outfielders had simply kept on their freaking feet and not started making grass angels out there, that you wouldn't have lost the drive and you could have been Chipper Jones 2.0?
That would have been cool. And I was pretty tilted at them doing that at the time. And I remember, this is kind of on topic, but I remember one time, it's kind of related to Dolson's story again, the ball like went under the fence.
Yeah.
And I was so stressed in the moment that I was like digging it out, but like I was getting tears in my eyes. I'm like, the whole team staring at me and I can't get this ball out from under the
fence.
I was just freaking out there and I finally got the ball out and then they just like called it like not a play or whatever because it was, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, once out of play, yeah.
When you're a kid, your emotions are just buck wild. Like you'll cry at anything. Yeah, so I was very embarrassed.
I definitely had I remember that season. I actually ended up doing pretty well. I remember I caught a fly ball during a game. They stuck me in the outfield for some reason. Whoa. Like they rotated us through the positions. And I actually caught a fly ball for the last out of the inning. And that one lives with me forever. I peaked in life in that moment. and then like literally the next inning, I do remember I went down and it's a traditional like grounder. They ding it out to me and it just rolls right between my legs and the guy gets like an extra base off of it and I'm like, what in the world? And so I felt that emotion right there where everyone's staring at me while ball rolls right between my legs. So that was horrific.
Guys, do you want to join a rec baseball league or a rec softball league?
I need to be guaranteed that the other people are just trying to have fun and not try hard. I did intramural softball in college. And we go up against a team of like clearly ex like high school varsity baseball players. They show up and they got their gloves and their bats and they got a bucket of balls and they're warming up. And we're all rolling in renting gloves from the rec hut. And the only equipment we have is the cooler that all of our beers are stored in, and they like put 90 on us.
Right.
Yeah, we had fun, but we just got waxed every time. And I don't know. I want to be in a league where the other team is drinking also. So I would be down if we can get the vibe of the league in check.
Do you think that we could convince like enough? Wait, is this the best idea I've ever had? How many pros local in Georgia?
40.
We got a lot of people. Bar. We could make an
SPL
entire
league.
We could have an SPL league for every sport, bro. We could rotate sports each week. We could you know, everyone's into pickleball. We'll play a bunch of pickleball. I love that.
Yep.
You know, we got tennis, basketball.
There's a men's
soccer.
Lacrosse league.
What?
Sure. I know it's your thing, Dave. I'll figure it out, I guess. That would be so fun to just have like a smite pro. Well, I mean, we could get the just like high-res in general, you know. There's a lot of people at high-res. We could easily get a league going with just high-res people.
Who do you think has the – like, if we're playing kickball, who do you think has the biggest leg cannon in the league?
Mike.
You think Mike drills one? Probably. Yeah, I bet he could wind up and just – he pops the ball when he kicks it. Counts as an automatic grand.
He knocks someone out if he hits him, 100%.
Yeah, Mike is definitely, like, one of the top overall picks in basically every sport.
I was gonna say if you could maybe convince them to move SPL off of the weekend. Thoughts?
Yeah, tag me in. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that would be kind of interesting and crazy.
What year did we have SPL on not weekend? Sam would be Sam for soccer,
Sam for soccer,
a top tier no matter the sport pick.
Yeah,
he is really athletic.
The last time aggro, I believe, was when I was on Paladins for the first year. So that would have been season 6 of Smite when Paladins had our LAN league and you guys had your LAN league. And that was DreamHack Atlanta year. We did Monday to Friday broadcast. And then from season 7, 8, and now 9, we've been – I don't know if you guys did weekends prior to all of that, but we've been back on weekends for 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know if we did 2 years of no weekends or 1 year of no weekends. Because it was weekends every other year besides that.
I think
it was the only year, Barry. Do you remember?
I want to say the earlier – there was like 1 year where we were playing like on a Wednesday, but that might have been the year that we were getting DDoS and it had to be pre-recorded.
Yeah, that might have been like season 1, season 2.
I mean, not to spoil anything that happened 7 years ago, but, you know.
Yeah, season, everyone knows people got these.
Season 6 was the last Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
But I don't know about before that.
Well, I'm in favor because I'm off on the weekends, so that would let me hang with the boys more often.
Yeah, it'd be cool to, you know, not be busy 7 days straight. I'm just saying, that would be interesting.
Sure. I don't know what's life like.
It's pretty good, guys. Someone who's working during Monday to Friday for the first time in their whole life. I've never had a Monday to Friday schedule before.
Good on you.
It's fun.
Yeah,
I like
good
it.
Good on you.
But, you know, there are advantages to the SPL. Like, you got to watch and be a part of the awesome Master Seeding.
Here we go. Nice. Good job.
And we're right in there. We're only 30 minutes into the podcast. Mrs. Ma can tune back in now. She's just going to be my poster child for people who don't want to listen to non-Smite content.
Is that the bit there that
Well, Neil told us last week that his mom doesn't she fast forwards to when we start talking about Smite.
She doesn't care about us. She only cares about our Smite opinions. And also,
I think she does care about me. I think she might not care about you. I think that's what I've decided.
Respectable and understandable, Miss Moss. So I completely respect your opinion.
Okay. Great.
And also, in the YouTube comments, there's always a comment that says "skip to such and such time for SPL talk." Like they, there's also a guy in the comments every week that doesn't care about me and aggro talking about whatever we talk about.
You should start doing like an actual, like right now, you should just wave our hands and say, "Hey, welcome to the actual SPL."
It's a podcast, Dave. That's not good podcast content. We're for the listeners. We need what we need is a soundboard, number one. And number two, on that soundboard, there needs to be a Smite talk incoming sort of thing, so that people know that it's time.
Nuke sound from Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The air sirens go off. No, we should actually get some... I'm a big fan of Scrubs, number one, and during the pandemic especially. Great show. Have either of you listened to the Fake Doctors Real Friends podcast?
I've not, but I've heard you talk about it before.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, you have talked about it.
It's really good, and they've got theme songs for like every part of their show. And I'm really jealous of it. I wish we had theme songs for every
maybe
part.
Maybe the chat can, you know, any musically inclined people can, you know, come up with some songs for us, maybe.
Yeah, if there's anyone who's musically inclined who can make, like, a little jingle and catchy little tune and then, like, you know, put a little vocal on it, like, oh, it's time for the random question of the week, or, like, it's time for Smite.
Oh, that'd be sick, actually.
Yeah. Doors watching, how funny would it be you just steamrolled your listeners with, like, a bagpipe?
That would be awesome. Please just record that,
instead of a happy jingle, it's just the bagpipe. Like,
that would be so good. I think soundboards are just generally very funny.
Yeah,
agreed.
And this would be a really good use for it. So
yeah, great.
Know, I think that could be really big for us for sure. All right, yeah, it's a Smite Talk alert playing in your ears because we have one of those. Yeah,
welcome to Smite Talk.
All right, clip that right there. That's going on the soundboard. That's going on the soundboard right there. Dave saying that. That's what we need.
A little music behind it. Perfect.
Yeah, a little bit of music behind it. That could be big. So, tell me. So, I'm looking at the scores here.
Yeah.
You know, I saw on Twitter generally what was going on, but I didn't get a chance to watch any of these. I'm a little surprised overall about the Titans weekend. Only winning two games over the course of the weekend, getting 3-1 by both the Dragons.
Yeah, those guys suck.
And the Warriors. Okay, that's not what I was saying. Also, we need that for the soundboard. Oh, dude, I can think of all these phrases that we use all the time, Barry. Like, backing off the ledge, you know, like... that.
Well, it's good. You can use that those guys suck when we talk about the Dragons bolt set at the end of the show. That's great.
Oh, my God.
True.
Come on!
That is insane. What a vertical. You got a lighter right there.
Pretty good to see that one.
It's for my candle.
Sure it is.
This is now an alpha male podcast.
Yeah,
lighting a candle.
Dave's on it, so of course it's an alpha male podcast.
True,
that's the way it goes.
New squat PR today, by the way. Squat PR.
Oh yeah, what'd you hit?
At 265 today. Or no. 365 today. 365 today.
Sorry, just forgot 100 pounds.
Yeah, let me multiply that by like half. Yeah, let me. You know, actually, it was 465. Now that I think about it.
Hey, I got a video and there's a real loud grunt in it. That's all I know.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, soundboard.
Soundboard material right there, baby. Just Dave. Okay. You know, right in the middle.
All
right.
Okay.
How close was I on the grunt sound, by the way?
Well, you got to get the you got to release at the end of it.
Okay.
Yeah, at the end of your grunt is the release, and that's where...
We're so sorry, Miss Ma. We're reading there eventually.
We baited you by saying it was Smite content.
We waved our hands and said it's Smite time, and we're still not
talking. And here we are talking about Dave's release after grunting. J-Dragons and Tartarus Titans. I told you guys the show was going to be rough, bro. I told you the show was going to be a... Dragons and Titans. Why am I introing this? I don't know what happened. Tell me what happened to someone.
You're the host.
I'm my draft.
What's going? Where am I? What's
all right?
Yeah, Dragons, Titans. So I was driving to the studios during this set, but basically kind of looked like our set versus Dragons. One team was just better than the other. And I think the way Dragons are playing and drafting right now makes it insanely hard to win against them. And I think Paul looked really good on the E set. I mean, he fumbled a gold for your secure and everyone laughed. But outside of that, I think that they could have won, like, I think they could have won the first and second game. But obviously, at the end of the second game, I think I was panicking and had to leave, so I was driving. But I think Dragons are just, the way they're drafting around Pagon right now is just so insanely difficult to play into. And Titans, like us, like we even got to watch Dragons play like four games, and we were still not really prepared for what they brought out against us.
Interesting. Yeah, Dave, did you cast this set?
I was in studio for I think games 3 and 4 though. The last couple games of this set are the ones where Myth always gets on the desk and says these are the hardest to break down. And to be fair to him, it actually is. The games 3 and 4 were sort of tough. The Titans really got nothing going. They were a very fast game. Game 4 in particular was pretty ugly here. It was just over a 20-minute game, if I remember correctly, and the Dragons just kind of wiped him out. Sam has really impressed me on his Fenrir picks here recently, and the set was no exception. In game 4, he goes 12-2-10. There's just something about him and that pick that ended up looking really good. Yeah, I don't know. It felt like, I think game 1 in this set, which was pretty back and forth, that one nearly goes 40 minutes. That was probably, I mean, the Titans ended up having a really clean game 2 to bounce back against the Dragons. Dragons only got a couple of kills in that game. I don't know. I think a little seed was planted in game number 1 with how long that game went and it kind of slipping away from the Titans. And I will say it felt like a, kind of a return. I know the Dragons have talked a lot about diversifying away from just like steamrolly early game run it down style of play, and they have done so. But it felt like in games 3 and 4 they returned to that style of play a little bit. We got a Sam Athena pick, which is always fun.
Seeing that, that's cool.
The Hachi Athena combo is quite deadly as most duo laners to play against because you can't really get away from that.
No.
It was Bacchus, Athena, and Hachiman. Those three together, they just kind of out-rotated the Titan.
Yep.
Is this build correct on the SmitePro website? Sam went Book of Thoth first item of Athena jungle?
Yes, I believe so. And that wasn't the last time.
Interesting.
And was it against you guys, Bear? We'll talk about it later. I think you went Book of Thoth on...
And then he didn't go Breastplate with it? That's what I was expecting. To see a breastplate alongside it, but he doesn't go breastplate. He goes book into Genji's, into Poly, Divine, and Book of the Dead. So it's a mana heavy build with full CDR because he goes Bumba's Hammer.
Yep.
I guess he's losing. He's 10% short of full, but you've got your Bumba's passive. So it's a really interesting build. I wonder why it's Book of Thoth in this spot.
I think, we'll talk about
your
it later.
Most effective power without pen. Sorry, I'm just kind of like thinking out loud. Go ahead.
No, I mean, we're going to talk about it later. I think it was the last game against you guys, Barrow, where he also did that. But it was on Hebo.
Yep.
Where is that? I don't think he built Breastplate of Valor. And where is it built? Oh, no, he did. Yeah, so when he was on Hebo, he went Thoth, Valor, Divine Ruin, Book of the Dead. So on Hebo, he did change the breastplate, but for whatever reason, against the Titans.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Titans left up Kleena a game. That was fun and experimental. That character is still something. That is... She's still a character. That is... Just fun. And then
and they didn't build any anti-heal for her at all.
Well, it's just like you feel awkward committing that those resources into it, but it's like it's she's such a hard character to counter right now, yeah. In my opinion.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, to counter and punish, like in the early mid stages, just I don't know.
She's very good.
Yeah, so, PBM looking really good on the Baron into the Emoja. That's just like a really annoying matchup for the Emoja.
Yep.
And it's really hard to play into. And I think people are underestimating, in my opinion, how good Baron is right now. I think that character is actually like disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the movement speed increase on the ult actually sick. Baron.
He's so cool. He's so cool.
Aggro, I don't know. Maybe I don't know if you'll be able to vouch or not, but I feel like I've always dropped like a nugget of buff Baron over the years of like attending balance meetings, and it's not all the time, but like before this buff rolled through, it'd be like once every three or four balance meetings, I'd just slide a little like Baron Somdi like comment there at the end. You know, I wouldn't have much to say the entire time, but then like buff Baron towards the end. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad Mike likes it because Baron is fun, and I'm glad he can. Fun. Make it work.
Yeah,
it's fun. Really hard to play into Emoja. Like you just get locked out of so many ways you want to play the game. And then our set against Warriors, our game one and game two, we kind of picked lower pressure than they did and kind of got smorked on. And we had like two insanely good comebacks in both games. I think we were down.
Yeah.
Like 6k the first game, and then we had a sick team fight, and then game two, I don't remember how far we were down, but we had another like insanely good team fight. And after that game, I was like, yo, what if we pick pressure? What if we control the pace of the game? And then game three was kind of just a stomp. We kind of just blew him out really quickly. Our team fight was just so much better.
Yeah, that was a 19-minute game.
That's a quick
one. My goodness.
No, that didn't take very long.
Our game three?
Yeah,
game three is 19 minutes.
Yeah, we kind of just got the ball rolling and then never stopped.
What do you... Okay, what's your take on Laz and how he's been playing? Because I feel like a lot of the conversation, Bear, that we've had about you guys as a team is it feels like Lazbro's been getting more active more early this year. I don't know if you have a similar read. But on certain picks, I know he was like the king of the like level two or three cringe gank or whatever last year. I know that's what we always talked about with Laz. Do you have a feeling that he's changed his early game at all, or are we just noticing it now maybe?
I think he's looking way cleaner on the leads he's getting, and also yes to your point as well. He's finding the leads way easier than he was before. I think like you said, he was doing the cringe gank before and it was working.
Right.
But now he's like doing that a lot more across the entire map and just finding a lot more openings. I think it's kind of like his game knowledge and gank timings just kind of evolved a few levels between last season and this season. And also, I think like my mid trio is playing like insanely well. Well, we had like a pretty bad performance against the Dragons, but I mean, outside of that game, I think my mid trio is playing way better than they were last year, like across the board. And we're way more cohesive with our planning and what we're doing on the map between them. So when Vin is like calming as well as he is and is like not directing last, but like helping him out with the pathing and everything, I think like they just work so well off of each other.
Yeah, we get a very similar read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone. I saw Twitter or Reddit or something like that, Barry, talking about how you've been popping so far this phase. What do you think that you've had a higher level of performance than in recent years or phases, or do you think this is pretty in line?
No, it's kind of funny when people say that because it's basically just off of stats that people see. It's like player damage and like KDA.
Yep.
And I view that stuff as basically meaningless, so I still feel like I'm playing like pretty good. Like I don't feel like I'm like worlds like on my worlds kick right now by any means, but I do feel like I'm playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the major thing that people aren't seeing is like how well my frontline's playing and how much room they're giving me in these fights, and also our target selection is just insane. And if I feel like my ability to do player damage and to... I'm just, like, free casting a lot more because of how much room I'm getting given.
Mm-hmm.
And also, a lot of people are diving Ven over me, so that's why I'm looking really good in the team fights because I'm free casting. I mean, honestly, like, not to be like, oh my gosh, it's not me at all, it's just my team, but yeah, it's a big mix of both.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's all, I think it's always the team, to some degree, but, you know, you can be popping where your team's also popping. That's allowed, I think.
Yeah, I think, like, in carry roles, it's hard to shine if your team is not doing good, which my team, obviously, right now, I think we are, like, set for the second place right now, in my opinion, like, set pretty firmly. So when my front line's playing this well, like, it's just, it makes my job so easy.
True. Yeah, I always would equate, this analogy is probably going to be pretty lost on you, Barry, but I always equate backline playing well to, like, having a good, or frontline playing well and making your backline's job very easy, equivalent to the NFL when your offensive line is just dominant. You can put anyone back there who's NFL quality and running back, and they will look really good if your offensive line is just blowing them off the ball.
I haven't experienced that in years as a Bengals fan.
Shut up, Dave. You went to the Super Bowl last year. We've got
but that doesn't mean I haven't experienced or I have experienced good offense. He got a record number of sacks in the Super Bowl against us. And
in the what? Wait, hold on, Dave. I thought your mic cut off.
I'm not complaining.
Dave, you weren't using that we made it to the Super nation's Bowl. Best
We're talking about having a crap offensive line.
Bucks a month.
I'm not having a crap offensive line.
/backliners. Did you say record number of sacks in the what?
Hello, I did Dave? Say Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. The finals. Right.
But that we were talking about crap offensive line.
Oh yeah, the Bengals is bad. Yeah, the Bengals offensive line sucks.
Yeah, it was bad.
I just Mifflined you really hard, and I'm sorry. I really
It's okay.
I punished you for going down one path, and then immediately agreed with you after punishing you. That's a very Mifflin move by me.
Yeah, I love when he does that.
There's no counterplay to it either.
No, you can't. Because you have to defend yourself, and then and then it's like, what just happened? Right? You flip it around.
Right.
It's amazing how that works.
It's just absolutely impossible.
Bruins are. Well, spoiler alert to anyone listening. Plug your ears at home, blah, blah, blah. They're losing 2-0, so we're sad about that.
Pain. Not as much pain as Titans fans were in, though, this weekend, guys. Oh. Am I right, fellas?
Oh,
yeah. They had a really big throw. So we were doing our picks and bans this morning during the set, and Titans had an enormous throw game one. I think they were up like 13K.
They're up huge.
And through, I think there's something about Dardez Morgan late game that kind of always finds an in on a backliner and just pops off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did that along with Nika. And I mean, I think as well that Cuba and Dodgy is just devastating late game. They always find these like crazy opportunities. Wait, did they do that to? Oh no, it was Leviathans. Yeah, I think it was Leviathans where Shinto was on Hell and Dardez found like a really good stone at Solo Phoenix during the regular phase.
Yep.
And I don't know, Dardez just keeps finding all these ends late game. He also like plays towards frontliners a lot as well, so you don't know in the team fight like if he's going to be stunning your frontline, if he's going to be going after your backline. So both sides are like playing kind of scared.
Mm-hmm.
But they just find so many opportunities late game. I think this is also really good for that team's mental. Since they got 3-0 the day before, to have a comeback like they did in game one, like that is absolutely huge for them. And I don't know their comms, but I mean, as much as I've heard about Neil's comms, I know he's always keeping his team in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, just gonna shout out to Neil.
Shout out to Neil Ma, friend of the podcast, of course. The only Warriors this season are kind of reminding me of the Atlantis Leviathans from 2 years ago, where they are first coming to the league. We knew that they could be good, but didn't have super high expectations. And they just continually played really good team-oriented Smite. And I remember watching that first year and going, wow, these guys are really good. I'm very impressed. But someone is gonna punish this playstyle eventually. And someone is going to figure out you know, what they're doing soon enough. And it never happened. You know, they didn't win Worlds that year or anything like that, but they were near the top of the league the entire season. And I feel very similarly with the Sony Warriors team. Like, if these 2 years, if this performance was happening last year, I wouldn't be batting an eye about how this team is winning
games
and how they, and where they are in the standings. I'd go, yeah, of course. I mean, do you look at their roster? They're insane. But the last year has just left such a taste in my mouth that I keep thinking, like, it's not that it's, I keep thinking that they're going to revert back to that suit eventually. I don't think they will.
I thought they did for a moment at the, cause they started their phase pretty effectively, and then they lost a couple, if I remember. Or no, they beat, I think, cause they beat the Leviathans pretty early on. And they lost to the Dragons, and they beat the Valks, and they beat the Kings, and they beat the Scarabs, and they lose to the Titan. You know, so it was sort of this, like, up and down. It was after the J Dragons loss. You know, you can't totally abandon hope after just one loss. But earlier on in the year, it looked like they had reverted to their play style in, like, that one specific set.
Right, they got dismantled.
And I remember I was just like, oh my god, like, was the win over the Leviathans a fluke now? And then obviously early on you're just gathering data and you can't really say one way or another. But they finished so strong and then looked, outside of the 3-0 up against the Bolts, they looked effective in this set, a good way for them to end the weekend. And the fact that they finished third seed technically at the end of phase one, I think I'm beyond, I'm officially not thinking they're ever going to, like, revert truly back. I mean, I have to imagine this team is not immune from rough sets. I wouldn't be surprised if you get some more 2-0 stompy type sets with these guys at some point. But I don't think it's going to be a consistent thing like it felt like it was last year. I think we're beyond that.
Yeah, I agree. I just got to train my subconscious in order to follow along.
Yeah, right.
You know? It's just like, in the back of my head, I just keep, like, feeling that way. The Titans, on the other hand, it's kind of like the opposite, right? We keep expecting them to return to form. I do think that they will. Teams with Aurora and Cyclone Spin and Paul just don't lose a lot of Smite eventually, right?
Yeah, I think they're getting used to Sot a bit because I think Benji has a completely different playstyle than Sot and kind of a different god pool as well and how they want to play the game. So I think that they're kind of in a learning curve right now, in my opinion, with like what Sot wants to play and how he wants to play the map and everything. But I think they will get better as time goes on. Also, I think the other people, like you said, I don't think they're having the best time either. Like Aurora Spinner and Paul, I don't think that they're having their best splits. So I mean, obviously this team will always be sick at Worlds. I don't think anyone will ever doubt that this team will always pop off at Worlds.
Yeah.
Sot as well. I think Sot had like an insanely good Worlds this past year. I remember like his Osiris for some reason. Was that Worlds? Or was that like qualifiers? I just remember
that was Worlds, I think. Yeah, that was Worlds last year for Scarabs.
Yeah, I just remember him like literally hard carrying, like disgustingly hard on Osiris.
Yeah, he played super well.
Yeah, and I think Warriors draft as well is pretty sick. They keep going back to the Elevate style of like double Hunter and triple Guardian. And I think that I always like those style of drafts because obviously as a backliner, you just have so much beef in front of you and it's so hard to get to you. So I always like those style of drafts.
I do have one thing to say that normally I would not say, but I've decided that I'm going to say it.
Okay. Oh no.
Because normally I would say, and obviously with my new role and my new position and all that kind of stuff, I've been extra careful about my opinions that I put out there. But I think I would say this before, so I think it's fair for me to say it now. We'll see what happens. Is there anything that... Nothing makes me roll my eyes faster than a team losing and then a player immediately tweeting how the game's in a bad spot. Like, that. That is just so... Like, that is instantly like, okay, you know, I get it. you didn't play well, your team didn't play well, you didn't win your tournament, you didn't win your games, Smite's boring, or whatever. Like, time I'm just like, okay, here we go. And that's, of course...
I feel like the easiest counterpunch is that the enemy, the opposing team was playing on Smite in the same state, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I get it, it's frustration, all that kind of stuff, everyone's allowed to say whatever they want to say. And of course, that's not me saying that Smite's in a perfect state and is absolutely flawless. But
yeah, no, I agree.
Always lame.
But saying it's because of the state of Smite,
yes,
feels weird.
And yes, I am. It's no secret. Layers had a tweet about it afterwards that was, you know, you can go and look at it if you like. Again, I get it. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He didn't win. He's not happy. Understandable. Just always makes me roll my eyes a little bit. Has since day one. And will continue to do so forever. And that brings us to the finals, where the Jade Dragons kind of continued to do it to them. Unfortunately, Barry, you were them.
Yeah, I was on the receiving end of getting it done to me. Yeah. And I will say, on that end, it is not fun. So game one, I want to say we had like another like good comeback like we had against the Warriors. I think we were down a fair bit this game, if I remember correctly. Maybe I don't remember correctly. Were we just winning this game?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Maybe we had like a little comeback in the early mid game.
It was Pagan. Pagan got a very early kill on Ven, and I feel like the Dragons were playing around Pagan around mid a decent bit, and that it was like slight. It wasn't massive. But yes, there was a slight to medium advantage for the Dragons around mid, but like for the early mid game.
Now looking back, we're a little down experience, but like a down like 1K in gold, so it's not too bad. But I think Pagan just had like an insanely good set overall.
Oh, he did.
He was kind of pogging on most of his characters, and unfortunately. Don't think we played well around it. I think he kind of got a lead in like most games before we could really like do much, and then I think game two it was just kind of rough across the board, you know. And then I like after game two I started like switching up my picks a lot, just trying to like experiment to see if I can like get pressure back on the map, because we were kind of losing a lot of pressure every game, unfortunately. You know, it is what it is. Sometimes that just happens. And then game three, I was all around on her, and I had, like, an enormous lead. I was, like, 800-something gold up, and I did not get to use it literally at all, unfortunately. And we just kind of lost the game. And then, also, really fun... there was a team fight that game three. I got Fender bitten twice in the same team fight. That was a load of fun. That was
Hammer? Was it late game?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bumba's Hammer late game. I remember that. And I was casting it. I almost couldn't believe it. It started the fight and ended the fight all in.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. It's Bumba's Hammer full CDR with Genji's guard. So he's getting. Yep. Genji's procs and Bumba's Hammer procs to just pull second, like, flat seconds off of the CD.
Yep.
That seems good.
And then, also, our team fight comms were like, we have to run away, and then I'm like, once they pop double Cthulhu, we gotta, like, run away, you know? And, as an Ulrun, I don't do that job very well.
No.
My character is kind of the opposite of run away. And also, in the late game team fights, Idle attacked a Cthulhu for 66 plus Telkines, which is not a very high number.
Beefy.
once I pressed my 4 key and started auto-attacking, I'm like, yep, we don't win this game. Because there's two of these guys and I'm hitting for 66. So my game's kind of ruined. And then...
You probably can't build enough pen on Ulrun, right? Like, it's just not even possible for you?
Yeah. Well, I was in that awkward stage of, like... I had Hecate, or Kate, whatever you say, Typhons and Telkines, and I was building into Tahuti, which is like a pretty decent power spike if we can get someone obviously below 50%.
Right.
And I was on my tier two when we took that team fight. So I was literally at the worst possible stage for like that team fight.
You're really weak. But I mean, even with another 10% pen, like you probably don't, like that character just doesn't build pen that well.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I think Cthulhu was really good into him, even despite his ultimate obviously not caring much about yours.
Yeah. With our draft, we shouldn't get to the team fight stage even. That's our thing, but we lost the early game once again. I think we lost all four early games, which isn't great. So we were in that situation, unfortunately. And I didn't get to use my lead, like I said, at all game three. And then game four, I'm like, he's picking Jing, so I'm just going to like slam jam in his Anami and try to get pressure back. And then we died really early against the Susanoo, unfortunately. And I was just in his Anami watching a Jing Wei farm equally as I am. So I am kind of useless in that situation as well, because I'm an early game character that is not getting a lead against the Jing Wei. So yeah, kind of just unlucky across the board. I mean, it happens sometimes, so I'm, like, after the set, I literally, like, didn't really care, because sometimes those games, those sets just happen, so, like, you can't, like, oh, yeah, like, I wish, like, that set or that play, like, didn't happen, but, I mean, that I've been playing comp forever, like, sometimes those plays, sometimes you just play bad, like, that, it is what it is, like, that is 100% fine, but yeah,
the good news is it's just the seeding land, and you're still second seed going into Masters, which is you know what that's what everyone's fighting for right now. Kind of the first big tournament of the year. So if there's any best of five to lose, I suppose it's that one.
And I have heard that we're in the same group as Dragons. So
I have no idea how it broke down, to be honest.
We play like the people coming out from the other side of the bracket or something.
I don't know. I think I did hear the groups. I don't know if they're out yet or if they want to like
on Wednesday. I'm going in to film the format video, so I'll learn more then. But
I thought that was public.
I mean, maybe. I don't think you've said anything that's like
Leekakuda. We love when Leekakuda comes.
Dang it.
We love when Lee Kakuda pokes his head out. We gotta have a soundboard option.
Look, I assumed it was out because you know the land's pretty soon, so you know
it'll
I would.
Hey, I mean, I don't.
I just assumed it was out. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Maybe it is, and we're all trolling, and maybe it isn't, and it's Lee Kakuda. It's a win-win for me either way.
It's a win-win for me too.
That's right. I do. I'm sorry, Barry, that right after you assume the mantle of Leekakuda, I now have to toss you under this bus. I don't know. I'm assuming everyone saw
perfect.
Pagan's tweet of the most first bloods and the most times first blooded. It's basically just Pagan got a lot of first bloods, Ven got first blooded a lot of times, and solo kills and solo killed vice versa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's pretend Ven is not your teammate for the sake of this. Decision.
Oh God! You're really doing this to me.
Barry,
goodness.
Let's pretend Ven is not your teammate. No. But like, it's literally nameless person one and nameless person two. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Except it's not. But that's
right.
Fine.
I love this. How could you not? Okay. I think that from an outside, you know, from someone who's not a player.
Like just,
I love it.
Just the banter.
Yes, of course. The.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I completely support that. I think it's really healthy for the league in general. And I think the banter is fun. Obviously, it sucks for Ven to be on the side of that. But, I mean, the same thing happened, like, against Hurry last year.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it's like, it goes both ways, you know? If you talk it, you gotta, like, also get talked to, you know? It happens. But, obviously, it sucks for Ven. But, pretty good for the league overall. I think it also makes our, like, dynamic against the Dragons way spicier for the next time we play as well. But yeah, I think it's just overall healthy. I will never, like, I grew up in the Halo COD days, so I support all of this stuff.
Yeah, I think it's so fun, man.
This is tame compared to...
Yeah,
compared
look, it's not personal, you know? Like, it's not, it's nothing about who he is as a dude or anything like that. It's just like, Yeah, I solo killed that guy 5 times this weekend. Like, yep, did that. Yep. And you mm-hmm. know, pointing that out. And I think that's cool. And then if Ven comes back and has a sick performance and solos Daniel, I want Ven to make a tweet about it. That's yep. the way it gets more fun.
I mean, it Ven just gets the fans type to take it in stride. I don't, you know, I think he's
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no one wants to see this. Like, I'm sure Ven was not like, nice, dude. I can't, this is an awesome tweet. But at the same time, like, this. Yeah, I really am glad that this is on the Twitter timeline. But at the same time, I agree. Ven's been around a long time. You know, he's pretty mature about this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm glad he didn't, like, immediately respond with something really mean and out of line or something like that. Like, yep. you just ignore it and you put it in the motivational chamber and you just use it later on. You know, you use it as motivation.
Yep, exactly. And I think it just, like, adds to Pagan's storyline as well. Like, he comes in the league, has a pop-off performance, like, in Phase 1, has a pop-off performance at this land. So, like, I think that just gets Dragons fans excited, which, I mean, I think anything that gets any fan excited is good for the league, like, healthy-wise, or health-wise, I guess.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. I mean, Pagan is, he's must-watch TV right now. For me, that's the player that I'm the most interested in watching week in and week out. I want to see what he
does.
And he hates
doing post-game interviews, and I keep telling him he's got to stop playing well, and we'll stop pulling him for post-game interview. I knew for a fact that he was going to get pulled for that, and I went out and told him. I was like, bro, you have to realize, like, if you have one more game like that, they're going to pick you for the post-game. And then it happened. And then he complained when he got picked for the post-game.
Yep. You gotta.
You're doing it to yourself, Pagan.
Yeah, right. Way worse.
What are you doing?
That's all right. That is definitely a problem for him, but not a problem for his team because they've all been popping off.
Yep.
Excited stuff, man. I think I'm excited for the Smite Masters LAN, which should be a lot of fun. All right, that'll do it overall. But of course, we've got our random question of the week. Play sound clip here. You know, sounds and all that kind of stuff. I was about to do something.
Like, wow, that was the craziest good sound clip. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, random question of the week.
Yeah,
no, there it is.
Random question.
He did it.
Of the week. Yeah,
he said the thing.
He said the thing. Thanks, Dave. You can just record our whole soundboard for us. That would be good. What is my random question of the week? What? Normally, I pull something that happened to me this week that I was thinking about. What happened this week that I was thinking about? I went to a wedding. You know, weddings are good. Surely there's a question about a wedding that I haven't asked. I feel like we have asked a question about weddings in the past, but now I can't remember it. Let's go with this one. When you guys attend a wedding,
yep.
I already know the answer to this for Dave, but that's okay. When you attend a wedding, how likely are you to get out on the dance floor? Does it have to be a song that you really like? Do you have to had a certain amount of drinks?
I want to know what you think my answer is.
Dave, I think that you are immediately on the dance floor no matter what. I think that you are one of the first ones out there. I think you are having a great time, and I think you're encouraging everyone else to come out and dance.
That's very correct. I mean, I get more energetic with it, of course, when I have some more.
Right.
When I have some drinks in me. But I'm also like, I'll carry my first beer out to the dance floor and kind of ride that momentum.
Oh, yeah.
I do have a story related to wedding dancing, but I can wait if we want to do it now or later.
Now is fine. Who cares?
Okay, now it's fine.
Now is fine.
Went to a wedding recently with some family friends, and I didn't know many people there. It was like my parents, my brother, and I, and then we knew the bride's parents, and of course the bride. And the bride's grandmother was just kind of standing along like the outside of the dance floor, just kind of watching.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, "Oh, Dave, she'd love it. Like, go ask her to dance. Like, oh, like warm her heart, whatever." And I'm like, I've had a few in me, so I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, I'll go pour it out. Like, grab her hands, like, pull out to the dance floor. But I've had too many drinks at this point. Not, like, to a horrible point, but, like, I'm very energetic, and my mom's standing next to me, thank God. So I start, you know, doing one of these, but, like, way too hard. I'm, like, starting a lawnmower with this poor old lady. And my mom My mom grabs me. She's like, Dave, you're going to rip her arm out of her socket. Like, you got to slow down. And in that moment, I kind of, like, come to, and I snap to, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're right. And I, like, look at this poor old lady who I'm, like, shaking around on the dance
floor. She's, like, breathing heavy. She's like, oh, my God.
Right. Luckily, arms in socket. You know, fully intact. But there was a moment where I was terrified that I had ran up some hospital bills.
Yeah, I can totally see this happening.
It was horrific. It was 100%. Horrific.
She remembers that night for the rest of her life.
Yeah, come on, Dave. That was a key moment in her life.
Yeah.
Poor Nana.
For me, it is definitely, as someone who is for some reason always self-conscious about their dancing and moving in general, mm-hmm. I have to be very intoxicated to dance.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, at all.
So even if it's like a family wedding or something like that, where you're like, you really know everyone well, you're still like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to be out there.
Yep. I've got to be like plastered to dance. Like, my brain literally won't turn off while dancing. Like, I'm just like freaking out the whole time. So I have to be very intoxicated.
Mm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely can't be fully sober and have a good time out on the dance floor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a good dancer in any way, which I'm sure is a surprise to many of you.
yeah, that's kind of shocking.
But it's true.
Actually, no troll. I would, for some reason, I pictured you as the kind of guy that like knows a lot of dance moves.
No, God, no.
I'm a big like bottle singer. If I don't really know what to do, like if it's not like a great dance song, you know, I'm a big just like sing into the beer bottle, you know.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's
solid. I would say my peak is after like a few drinks, but I don't necessarily need to be like roped out there. Once I break the mental ice, I'm good to go.
Yeah,
but I do have more fun with a few beers in me.
I'm definitely the. I definitely have to be feeling pretty good to go out there in the first place, and then as soon as a song comes on that I'm not vibing with, I'm going to get a drink.
I'm going to the bar,
and I'll make use of my time. I'll go and get the drink, and I'll drink a lot of it. And then as soon as a song comes on that I like, I'm back out there.
Do you have a song? I don't. You've been trying to close the show for like 20 minutes. I'm sorry. Do you have song that like? Because I have a specific story in mind when I ask this, where like if you're at the bar getting a drink, a song comes on and like you're immediately back out there. Because I have like one wedding song. I love so many wedding songs, but there's one that I have that either I request it to the DJ every time, or if I hear it, it pulls me out immediately.
Yeah. There is one. Unfortunately, the artist is a horrible human being.
Oh, no.
But I feel like that's probably more common than it isn't. If Ignition Remix comes on, I'm out there.
Oh, that's a great one.
It's just such a good dancing song.
It is. You're right.
It's so good. Bear's looking.
You a Cupid Shuffle fan?
Yep.
No, dude. We were all doing the Cupid Shuffle. The whole dance floor is doing it. I'm on the edge, and I'm getting like... squeeze like into the wall whenever we're going one of the four directions. Like
turning
it's
the wrong
fine.
Way.
It's too long, okay?
Yeah,
it's too long.
Once you do it a few times.
Be a minute and a half long. And no longer. That's, it doesn't need to be any longer than that. But, you know, it's not the worst thing ever. It's not Cotton Eye Joe. but it's like fine.
Right.
What did you have a, what about yours, Dave? You said you did.
Oh, yeah, right. So this could go on for 15 minutes. This is a layered story. I'll tell you the actual answer. And it's the Higher Love Kygo and Whitney Houston remix. If you haven't heard it, it's great. Fantastic, dance song. Lots of great singing. It has to do with love, things like that. Now I forget the actual singer's name. He was back in like my parents' college days. And my dad went to college in Ohio. Oh, Steve Winwood was the OG guy. And my mom would change the lyrics to bring me Ohio love whenever she was going to visit my dad. So it actually has a very cute backstory. But then the Whitney Houston remix and with Kygo is just, I don't know. There's something about it that I was at a wedding, one of my friends, and I requested it like an hour ago, and it finally came on, and I just ordered a red wine, and I have a white shirt on, and I can't, you know, dance with a full red wine, so I put the entire cup back and sprint onto the dance floor and have a great time.
That's awesome.
And then, like, get heartburned 5 minutes later, like, once I toned down.
Instantly. Yeah, you're not feeling good after that. Bear, any songs that will coax you out there, or no?
No, considering I'm much more of, like, a mosher, you know? Yeah. If it's, like... You know, if we're like a metal show or like a rock show, I will be jamming the literally entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm at a wedding, I will be not dancing unless I am very drunk.
Like, yeah, we did at this wedding.
Very good.
my friends who were getting married, they're huge Pokemon fans. And there was like a very nice, very classy, like Pokemon undertone theme to the whole wedding. But not like, you know, this is weird sort of feeling. But they did play the Pokemon theme song, and that was an absolute blast. We were just completely hammered, like screaming the lyrics and dancing along. Oh, it was so much fun. It was it was very much good time. It also reminds me. Okay, this is the last story, I swear, before we call it. It also reminds me of at Pretty Hair's wedding. It was out, it was on Lake Lanier, and the reception was held on, like, a floating dock, basically. You know, like, a big, like, you had to walk along a dock, and then it was this big rectangle, you know, with enough room for a bunch of, you know, everyone ate, and then there was a dance floor in the middle, and it was really, really cool. And we are big fans of Will Smith's version of Prince Ali from the Aladdin, the recent Aladdin remake. And we played that, and it was literally the most fun thing I'd ever seen at a wedding, where, like, instantly everyone was just... It was a very small wedding. It was only, like, 30 people because of the middle of COVID. And everyone was just, like, dancing, and, like, we all formed the circle, and we were, like, stomping along to the song, and the whole place is literally bouncing because it's out on the water.
I can just see Pretty Hair losing it to that song. I don't know why. That's just such a Nick's
song,
like, such
right?
A Keo song.
It's a Keo song. Like... And Dave, listen to this. We're in the circle, right? It's his wedding. You know, he's the groom.
Yeah.
And at the end, as the song is ending, he, like, breaks off into the middle and starts breakdancing in the middle of everybody. And it's perfect. He does, like, the spin and, like, the leg
twist
and everything.
That's his moment.
And I'm like, Nick, when did you learn how to break dance? And he's like, that's the first time I've ever done that.
Yeah, right.
My whole life.
I guarantee that would have been the first time he ever tried it. Right?
He never tried it before. He's like, the moment just felt right. And it was perfect. Like, Nick is just the most perfect human on the whole planet.
Yeah.
He has no right to be nice, and he's like the nicest guy of all time. I hate him, man. I hate that guy for being so great. I love him with all my heart. All right, thanks everyone for listening to the Backliners. Dave, thanks for watching my dog this weekend, and then
on the
podcast on Monday. You kind of did double duty.
Hey, all good. Happy to do it.
Love that.
Go
Bruins.
Your payment money got me a nice package of ground beef, so thank you very much.
Love
and that'll
that.
Get me gains in the gym.
Love that. Gains in the gym, that's what we're all about.
That's
for,
a lot.
Except for me and Barra, who don't go to the gym. Wait, Barra, you going to the gym again? Because I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am.
All right, Dave and Bear.
No,
are about.
For your argument, no, I'm with you. You know,
okay, that's what Dave's about, not what the podcast's about. You know, we're here about.
Yeah, that's so embarrassing.
Gaining money in the bank account because you switched to Mint Mobile and you went to mintmobile.com/backliners for premium wireless.
Got all the ground beef I could buy.
So much ground beef, Dave. That's all the ground beef you need, and you're going to be squatting 426 and 526 in just a few days.
I'll be there so soon.
There it is. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Give us a rating. Go to mintmobile.com/backliners, all that kind of good stuff. We'll see you next week, or whenever we do the show. It'll probably be next week, I think. Who knows what's going on? Not me. Barra, you know what to do.
Bye.
Good recovery. I saw you laughed right beforehand, and you were still able to get in the zone.
Yeah, I've been pretty clean with it lately. I'm kind of
popping off.
I think
you should
off.
Mess one up soon.
Oh, okay. Wait, just like voice crack or what? Because I can voice crack on command.
cough in the middle of it. Use the wrong word or something. Any of those. That would be good.
I could add a goodbye to like a finalizing one, you know.
Okay. Not a bad idea.
Goodbye. And, I hate it. Or I could do it in, okay, sorry.